Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
How you doing, everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and we are talking round four, waiver wire pickups, a few trade talks, and our top five as per usual. We are without the Statesman this week. He has called in because he is just too upset that I have destroyed him in our listener keeper league. It's around the 500 to 600 point mark. He's devastated, and even more devastated that he gave Jared Lyons to me as well. Nice 154 points for him, so I'm very happy about that. But welcome to you, Steve.
Yeah, g'day, Jono. G'day, listeners. And I think it even gets worse for the old Statesman because he just traded out Matt Crouch for Gary Ablett this week, who's gone ping.
Old man Hambone.
Well, what's going on, Statesman? He's traded out the flying youth for just old man Pendlebury and old man Gary Ablett. This is the Statesman who couldn't, you know... Like, let's be honest, he's got a touch of the Kevin Spacey's about him when it comes to his fantasy team. He loves the young men. And he's brought in the old boys, and it's just come back to bite him in the bum, quite frankly. But, Jono, there's a strampling. It's for myself. Oh. We had a lot of start-sit questions this week, and we'll talk about it later, but all I'm going to say is Aaron Mullett, okay? I think... People know where I'm coming from when I say Aaron Mullett, but just wanted to get to quickly. I've busted out a piece of kitchen equipment that I know you're a big fan of, but I keep it put away over summer. I can't deal. But I know you just go hammer and tongs all the time, even when it's 45 degrees in summer. But the slow cooker's come out.
Yes, it's getting to that time of year where the slow cooker is required. It, cool, warm days, cool nights, it's just, you think it's perfect for a nice bit of stewed meat.
Well, I just love the fact that you can cook it, started at like 11 and not worry about anything till 6:30. It's just perfect for my lifestyle of I don't care.
Do you have that worry about putting it on when you're at work and that your whole house is going to burn down situation?
Yeah. Yes, I do. Yeah, I do.
So you're the same as me then, and won't do it as I'm about to walk out for work and have a nice cooked meal when I get home.
No, it's all about the weekends for me, or, you know, if I come home, sometimes I come home early on a Tuesday or a Friday and I'll get things cracking then, but love that slow cooker.
But speaking of stremplings, we actually had a listener strempling, very unheard of here at the Draft Doctors. We do love the fan listener input. It's from Andrew Longdon, and just to set it up, Steve put out, what is the most overrated, was it hashtag that you put out? Or phrase that was used in the preseason when,
yeah, the preseason. What's the most overrated preseason term?
Yes, and Andrew's come out with hashtag midtime, bought into the hype that was Christian Salem getting in the midfield time. Hey, he got the midfield time, but the points were not delivered, and he got him nice and early, and it's cost him. But hey, he did redeem himself on the weekend, scored pretty nicely, but. Not for that high draft pick where you placed him, you would expect. So no. Thank you for the strempling there, Andrew.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Love the listener strempling, John. Unbelievable.
Speaking of injuries, Steve, we have quite a few, not too many this weekend. It wasn't too bad. The major one you just said before was Gary Ablett with the ham bone.
Do we have confirmation? Because it could have been a thigh.
He was limping, so it's a leg injury. Let's just put it down to that. Mm. So we're not too sure, but he has had the hamstring injury, so you'd think that's the main cause there. And Nekhai Cockatoo went down with a knee injury in that game. So did Cam Guthrie with a twisted ankle. Sam Reid, who actually looked pretty good against the GWS, had an upper leg injury. He got you the ton in Supercoach.
Holy shit.
We're recording this in the last quarter of the Cats and
West Coast. Do you remember Govan just went up like 14 points for a mark and a handball?
Intercept mark, I'm going to guess then.
In a game?
Off the turnover.
Oh, and Pierce Hanley got a kick. Thank Christ. Look, people, the tilt is real. The tilt is real. That's all I can say. I need Shannon Hearn. I have Gary Ablett as my captain. I'm in a nothing all game. and I've got Shannon Hearn going up against Jeremy McGovern. Jeremy McGovern's got 14 goddamn points for doing nothing. Jesus Christ.
Gotta love that Supercoach
score. Gary Ablett would be on like 150 if he hadn't got injured.
Pierce Hanley, right shoulder, has gone down again. Not too sure what's going on there. I think the Gold Coast Suns brought him back way too early initially when they said it was 4 to 6 weeks with that shoulder. So not too good for Pierce Hanley. But if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors and at Statesman33 if you really want to bury him about a bloke who knows nothing about AFL fantasy scoring. And he's on the bottom of the ladder against the... against a bloke who's the be-all and end-all. Well done, Statesman. And we are on the Facebooks as well. Search The Draft Doctors there. And the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. We've got a dozen deals each week, late-week pickups, and the Statesman skippers as well. But we are talking our top five things that we have noticed from this week. And why don't you kick us off, Steve?
Yeah, Jono. Well, what a huge week it's been. Quite frankly, especially for your draft format, as always, there's always a storyline going on. And Jono, I just want to tell you, because we're early on in the season and we've had a couple games of data, and you've got to ask yourself, is it a trend or is it an outlier? And we spoke last week about picking up Brandon Ellis, because Richmond, they were one of the lowest marks teams last year per game. And they averaged about 84 marks a game. Oh, thank Christ, Shannon Hearn just got another kick. Go, you good thing.
Don't worry, Jack Darling went up 40 points for doing nothing, so I'm happy.
There's no sweat on Jack Darling for me, but we noticed, and we said Brandon Ellis would be a good pickup, and he scored. Okay, but Richmond had 100 marks, okay? They'd only gone at 60 in the first two games. So that had to correct itself, and we mentioned that, and it did against the Hawks, who were a team that they're just middle of the pack when it comes to allowing marks per game. So things did correct itself. We did talk about it, and I think if you were buying a Richmond player, they were probably good stock to buy, because they'd played that first match of the year, which is always hotly contested. They'd played a team who's been playing their theme song nonstop for the best part of 6 months, who are up and about. So the pressure rating in the first two games has been through the roof. And things just tend to correct themselves. I thought a really interesting thing was Brody Grundy. Despite Cox being in the team, he was sole ruck and absolutely monstered it. I think that's... if you drafted Brody Grundy, maybe this is a sign of things to come. Like, thank Christ, maybe Bucks has got it together and he's... And it's just pure Brody Grundy.
Well, that's something I was going to... one of my top five things I noticed this week, it was the solo ruckman. The Western Bulldogs, renowned for having four ruckmen in the team due to injury, went with Timmy English. We saw Steph Martin kill it. We were all worried about Archie Smith. Yes, Mason Cox within the team as well. The Hawks, we always thought Pitternet and Segler were going to play, but it's been big boy. So it looks like that... two ruckman strategies gone right out the window.
Yeah, and thank goodness, Jono, because it means things are just so much easier. Although I will say that there's some pretty ordinary ruck divisions floating around in the AFL. Geelong.
That is true.
okay, now on Aaron Mullett, 6 disposals. He's not a good player. Like, let's just call it for how it is. But I want to just say that the reason we say it was a great pickup was because he's generally pretty available, and he was playing against Collingwood. And Collingwood are generally good to stream defenders against. In their first two rounds, Collingwood had only taken 11 marks inside the forward 50. That's over two games. That's hardly anything. And we know their midfield's pretty strong, so they tend to have a higher number of inside 50s. If you're not kicking goals, if you're not taking marks inside 50, that's generally good for the defenders. Well, Collingwood took 15 marks against Carlton inside the forward 50. So that's kind of why Carlton didn't score so well from defence. Like, even Cade Simpson didn't have a massive game. And let's be honest, with Caleb Marchbank going down so early, he's one of the best peel-off defenders going around. So that really hurt their defense. So I think that's, you know, the process wasn't bad on Aaron Mullett, but the results, you know, obviously didn't bear out. And that's no good. But anyway, on to the next one. Ben Jacobs is just back to murdering opponents, just driving them into a pile of dust out on the football field, Jono. Clayton Oliver took the whack this week, thank Christ, because I was playing against Clayton Oliver in our Supercoach League. Didn't mind that at all. But how's this for an interesting stat, Jono? The only team to have allowed a midfielder to score less that is the top score, the North Melbourne, is Port Adelaide. Neither of them have allowed a midfielder to score over 112.
Interesting.
So if you're looking at your captain options, I'd certainly be steering clear of those two teams. Like, it's just the ceiling just doesn't appear to be there for the midfielders. I'm not saying the ruckman can't score good against Port Adelaide with no Ryder, or forwards can't score good against North Melbourne or whatever, but just the midfielders seem a little bit capped, especially your top line midfielders. We saw him do a job on Seb Ross. We saw him do a job on was it Lyons in the first week. So certainly Ben Jacobs is a quality tagger, and he's just out to take a number each week. And the last thing I want to talk about is Twitter. Let's just ease up on Tim Tarantino, okay? Okay, old Quentin. He's a second year mid-forward. He scored 50 against the Swans, all right? He's played the Bulldogs and Collingwood in the first two rounds. They're not exactly the defensive prowess that is the Swans, okay?
The Bulldogs look pretty good this afternoon.
Well, they didn't look great in the first week, let's be honest. Okay, maybe it's a stand of opposition. I don't know. But, you know, look, Hopper in, fine, that doesn't help. But what are your expectations? That this guy's going to score 115 every single week?
No. 85 plus, that's what you're looking at.
And look, the GWS, their draw over the next 7 weeks is phenomenal. So if you're not a Tim Tarantino, that's his name from now on, you know, a Tim Quentin owner, I'd be looking to snap him up, because their draw is spectacular. And it's real. Like Terry Hatcher.
I like it. As I spoke about, the dual ruck situation is gone. It's all about the solo rucks now. So if you haven't got one of the top five, that's okay. There'd be plenty of ruckmen floating in the pool, like your Callum Sinclairs and whatnot, who scored the tons on the weekend. So don't worry about that. But my first one is Ryan Burton.
Oh.
He's got to be... I know you spent a high draft pick on him, but he's got to be up there to be putting in the pool. He hasn't scored over 60 yet, and the 12 disposals today against the Tigers, 3 at halftime, just non-existent. He cannot be playable, and what do you do with him?
Yeah, Jono, I'm in agreeance. If you can't pair him up with something and trade up a position, I'd pull him. This was the week the general defenders against Richmond have been scoring pretty well. And I think a few of the Hawks players did today, like your Hardwicks, and Gunston played back as well with Sicily out. Mate, it's time to cut bait, quite frankly. If you're in a redraft, if you're in a keeper, obviously you can't, but...
Yeah. No, look, I mean, I give it a 3-week rule. I'm a Jack Redden owner and super coach, and he's just about to hit the pool with me. Like, he has not delivered, but... Yeah, I thought he would have got a bit of a bump with Sicily being out this week and would have scored the points, but obviously not.
No, but they did shuffle Gunston back, but the matchup was sweet.
Yep. The Western Bulldogs, watching this game today, crazy Luke Beveridge. If you're a Bontempelli owner, there's a good chance he could be getting DPP. He spent at least 85% of that time playing as the pure deep forward. I counted only 3 centre bounce attendances, and 2 of those were as a ruckman.
My God.
Yeah.
My God, Bevo.
That was late in the fourth quarter, but he did not attend a centre bounce until the last quarter. So I don't know what the hell Bevo's doing, but if everything is all good and rosy at the Bulldogs, 1 ruckman, as we've been crying out for, Tim English looked the goods. He was okay. But it was Jack McRae. Honeychurch was doing the tagging job, but I don't think we'll see that each week. But it was Lin Jong as well.
Whoa.
Centre bounce attendance.
The Bulldogs laid a tagger. Let's talk about
yes.
it. Unbelievable scenes.
Hey, we saw it last year. I think Libba went with Zach Merritt last year.
That's unbelievable scenes, Jono.
Luke Beveridge got my email about my hatred for the Bombers and just sucked the life right out of them. But there was a bit of life to the Bulldogs and the young players today, especially like Bailey Williams running off the halfback. There's some value there, which we'll talk a little bit later on in the waiver wire pickups. The Saints, they are not built for fast-running early-season football. They are a slow, contested team that need to lock it down, and they will not be good until the second half of the year when everyone starts to get tired. They were killed on the rebound and the transition, and they cannot keep up at all. So if you've got a Billings, a Jack Stephen, they will score well, but watch those scores go up later on in the year when the game slows down.
Well, wasn't it interesting seeing Luke Dunstan finally get a crack and just strolling in for 30 touches? Well done, Alan Richardson. Great coach.
Blake Akers just sitting there doing whatever the hell he liked. I think he had 13 possessions in the first quarter as well.
No, he's playing ruck half the time.
Well, he was too. And my last point is the Cats. Zach Smith is a dedicated ruckman. He scores very well when he is the solo ruckman. Chris Scott, play him. You are getting smashed today in the centre bounce of clearances against Nick Nat and Lysette. Blixarves, you are not a ruckman. Stanley, you are not a ruckman. Play Zach Smith. Let him score. Let the owners who do have him enjoy his scores.
Yeah, and neither's Asava Radigalia. Stanley was a late out. Unbelievable scenes.
Well, I saw they did take Selwood over there. With a late out, I thought Ablett was just going over for a holiday and was expecting him to be the laid out.
How's this, John? I actually played Selwood on the field in our keeper league because I had a feeling.
Wow, that's well, the guy I'm playing against as well in the redraft league, in the listener league, played Selwood as well, and just some balls right there.
Oh, well, there you go.
But going just quickly back to the Bulldogs stats there, Steve, you put out on Twitter that the Bulldogs conceded 20-plus marks inside 50 per game.
Over the first 2 weeks. And yeah. Look, Jono, this, again, before you go on, just this is another one of those things. It's not going to continue.
No. Well, I've just got the stat here. It was 13 inside 50 marks they conceded to the Bulldogs, got 23 themselves.
And look, 13 is it's probably just a fraction below average.
Below average? Okay. I thought for the Bulldogs it might have been on par.
But that's what I mean. Like, there's some teams that are going to be below average. I mean, there's teams like Port Adelaide who are giving up like 6 at the moment. So, you know, let's a little bit of perspective. They're not they're not Brisbane Lions, but yeah,
we're close enough. So, but moving on now to our waiver wire pickups for the week, and when we do talk about these waiver wire pickups, we use Ultimate Footy's 65% rule ownership or less. That way, if you're playing in the bigger leagues, you've got a better chance to get them. Steve, why don't you fire away of who have you got for your waiver wire pickups?
I can do that, Jono. How about number one? I'm going to give you a bit of a big ups here, Jono, because you mentioned him on your late week pickups article before he duly went ham on the weekend, and that's Richie Douglas.
Still there.
Yeah, rocking in with the 54% ownership on Ultimate Footy. We know Matty Crouch is out for a while. We know Richard Douglas, quality player. Sort of thought it'd go to Hugh Greenwood and Camillus Yeoman, but Richie Douglas duly stepped up and just dominated. They're playing Collingwood this week. That's a pretty sweet matchup. So I certainly like his potential this week. Whether you want him for the short-term rental whilst Matt Crouch is out, or you want my number two pick, that's fine. Number two, I've got Jacob Hopper rocking in at the 60% ownership rule. GWS have got a sweet draw for the next 2 months, so I'd certainly look to pick him up as he comes into that midfield, and probably only gets better because he certainly missed a fair chunk of football over the last couple of years. Number three, I've got Benny Brown, the forward from North Melbourne. Under. Old Sideshow Bob's only at 62%. They're playing Carlton this week, and I mean, that's as good a matchup as you'll get for a forward, so I certainly think he's pretty good. He scored 80s the last couple of weeks, so don't mind that. Zach Fisher, forward for Carlton, only owning 49% of leagues. Scored 70s. But he's a player, man. He's a player, John. I think anyone who's watched Carlton can see the talent there. So certainly don't mind that. Number five, forward Rowan Marshall. for St Kilda, playing as the ruckman. We love those people who are listed as forwards playing in the ruck. He's, what's his ownership?
17%.
17%. My God. But how's this, Jono? Let's talk about some matchups. On the deck for Rowan Marshall, he's got Geelong and GWS, who are just... Hey, look, they're like they're like the last chick at the disco, mate. They are just giving it up to the ruckman.
Hence why he was my number two pick this week. You just cannot pass. And he took it right up to Source Jacob as well, who's a quality ruckman.
Source tends to give it up. I will be honest. He's not the hardest matchup. He's kind of average, but... Yeah, he scored 80s on the weekend. You got to like that.
Yeah,
I'll make number six Tom Stewart. I mean, he's still only 62% owned. We don't have any other defenders in here. The guy's scoring. You got to pay attention to it. I mean, he's just doing a job, man. So yep. I got to respect that. I think he's absolutely worth a season-long value. And the last one, I'll give you two because it's kind of a matchup play. For your Supercoach leagues, Shane Edwards, 26% ownership. And for your Dream Team leagues, Jason Castagna. They're both playing Brisbane because they play in the same team. Funny about that. One's 26% ownership, one's 9% ownership. But Brisbane are just giving it up. Giving it up, Jono.
Yeah, well, you took three of my waiver wire pickups for this week, but I've got a few more. I've got Bailey Williams. He was one of my late week pickups. Just went full ham. He's got that cushy roll down back now as that rebounding slash intercept marker. They are playing... I can't remember who they're playing this week. It's a good matchup, that's for sure, anyway. Sydney Swans.
That's so not that a good ball... matchup.
Yes, it is. They actually match up pretty well against the Sydney Swans, so it's a very tight turnovery type of game when they play the Swans, so... Built for lots of marks, rebounds there for Bailey Williams. He went the full ham, went the tons in both formats against the Bombers today. Did have Rowan Marshall, Zach Fisher, Tom Stewart. I can't believe I had this guy at number five, and that's Benny Jacobs. I mean, I know he's had the 18 possessions, but I think it's just the tackle counts that's helping his score build there. I know he can gather the pill, but he's worth a look at.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, John. I actually started with Ben Jacobs in my classic team, my AFL Fantasy Classic team, the salary cap format that we despise. It's kind of... I see what you're saying.
It could be a good bench coverage, but if you're really struggling, I know there's some people who've had the Crouchers, Zeret not doing too well. If he's even playable, but... he's popping out the 85s and a couple of tons here and there, but whether those 10 tackles a game is sustainable, who knows, but he is that tagger, so he's first to the player with the ball.
Yeah, we saw it from Scott Selwood last year.
Another couple of... Yeah. Mm. Another couple I like is Luke Brown from the Adelaide Crows. He's at 20%. He's had a couple of nice scores over the last couple of weeks with a couple of cushy matchups, and only his first game in this week for the Freo Dockers. That's Ed Langdon, owned at 33%. He was out there on the wing at Optus Stadium, and they look really good and fast out there at Optus Stadium. They've got, I think, another two or three games out there over the next month. So they're playing fast transition footy, so they're looking to use Ed Langdon there off the back line as well. And if you are liking the show, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. If you've got a couple of minutes, hit the 5-star button and leave us a review. It only takes a couple of minutes. We do appreciate it. We do go all year round. Hit the subscribe button and our show will come to you each and every Monday morning for your listening pleasure on your way to work. But Steve, you got a few trades up your sleeve this week with your dozen deals.
Yeah, Jono, absolutely. One of the most favouritest parts of everyone's trading is the fantasy football is the trading. Everyone loves to make a hot deal. You made a hot deal during the week, didn't you?
I did make a hot deal, and it helped Statesman's demise in the Keeper League. I went Sam Doherty for Steel Sidebottom on the premise that Steel Sidebottom's got some great footy still ahead of him. He's only 27 years old, whereas Doherty, coming off that knee, 24 years old, probably not going to see his fantasy best until he hits 26, and hopefully I've won a premiership by then, and don't really care.
And that's in the keeper league. So that's right. Obviously a big trade there. I had a couple of trades cooking, but nothing had materialized. And I just wanted to take this time to say, because, you know, we talk about the trades and everyone loves a dozen deals article. And I think I mentioned Taylor Adams last week. And like the premise of a buy is that you might get him at a cheaper rate than he was valued at the draft, or a sell as you're selling him at overs. But if you can't get the deal, like, don't be afraid just to not make a trade. Like, it's not a bit bad deal. Like, sometimes the best deals you make, Jono, are the ones you walk away from.
Yeah, absolutely. And just talking about those trades, the way I was approached, I wasn't just said, here's player, side bottom for Doherty. The person who came at me opened the dialogue, said, hey, are you interested? Got the dialogue going. You know, he put up a couple of offers of which players are on the table. I counter-offered, see what's available. We came to an agreement, and we're both happy. So, again, as we've reiterated, don't just put an offer straight to a person. Open the dialogue, say, hey, what do you need? What do you want? I've got this player. I want this player. And go from there.
Yeah, so it just doesn't have to happen. So, but this week, I think there's a couple of great buys, Jono. And my number one buy is Jeremy Cameron. Okay.
Interesting.
He's just played... Yeah, we don't often talk about players like Jeremy Cameron, but he's just played two pretty stingy defences. And you might say Collingwood's not a stingy defence, but they have actually played out that way for forwards this year. And he scored poor. He's given away 8 free kicks over the last 2 weeks. But he has still scored okay. He's still kicking goals. But their draw over the next 7 weeks, like, it's really, really favourable. I'll just take you through a couple of the matchups. So next week they've got Fremantle at home, St Kilda, Brisbane, and, well, they've got Geelong, which is a tougher matchup. That's fine, I understand that. But then the Eagles.
But Geelong have been giving up the points in defence.
And they have, and that's correct. So I think Jeremy Cameron's a great buy low. And also Dylan Scheel, he's just thrown out a couple of crappy scores as well. But I think both of those gentlemen are really good buyers. And I just wanted to throw out a sell. I mean, Nick Nat, he's got to be a sell, doesn't he? He scored fantastically well through his first 3 matches with really, really limited time on ground. Today he's giving you the 81 Dream Team and 105 Supercoach in 56% time on ground.
That's 56?
Crazy. Isn't that crazy. Unbelievable? But let's just look at his opponents first. Okay. So the 3 ruckman, Nick Nats, and I don't think he scored lower than 80. He's been going fantastic. But he's come up against Callum Sinclair, Tim English, and Asava Radigalia, and whatever, you know, your Blixarves and whoever else they want to throw in. Not exactly the murderer's row of ruckman, it'd be fair to say. So I think... I mean, he's scoring unbelievably well for his time on ground. If his time on ground continues, I can't expect him to continue to score that well. So I think, and we know trading a ruckman's very hard, but if you can flip a deal for Nick Nat, I think it's a pretty good time to do it.
Yeah, I totally agree. Man, 56% time on ground, that's just crazy. And Lysette's still not scoring as well either.
Well, Lysette had a banger last week, and I actually think Lysette's a pretty cagey little buy. Because, especially in your DPP leagues, because he will get forward status.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Yeah. Especially as Nick Nat's time does build on the ground as well.
So, interesting.
Very interesting. There is no Statesman Skippers this week, as you have heard and or not heard. He is not here this week, but he will have his article out in the middle of the week for you guys to peruse of who to pick up. But it is back this week. It is our top 5. And because it is the Melbourne Comedy Festival at the moment here, we've gone with our top 5 stand-up comedians. Steve, fire away of who your top 5 are, please.
Yeah, Jono, it's actually interesting because it's the Comedy Festival. And as you know, and some of the listeners know, but not all the listeners know, I'm a veteran of about 85, 90 open mic stand-up gigs, and I was having a look at some of my stand-up the other day, and you know, I'm quite happy to be podcasting about fantasy football. That's how that went. I haven't shared
a couple of good bowls clubs gigs over the journey.
I had a few good gigs. I had a really good gig up in Ballarat, opening for Dave Thornton and a couple other great comics, but obviously in the past now, and certainly haven't hit the heights of some of these fantastic comedians. So a couple of honourables. I'll give Fiona O'Loughlin, probably the nicest comic I ever met. Celia Piccola, very funny. Norm MacDonald, who's unbelievable. Bill Hicks, who some people would consider the GOAT. And Arj Barker, who some people call the McDonald's of comedy, but who is just keeps delivering for about 20 years straight. But number five, I've got Greg Fleet, the best comedian Australia's ever produced, and fantastic. And I was lucky enough to do a number of gigs with Fleety. He's certainly fantastically funny. Number four, I've got Mitch Hedberg, the brilliant one-liner comic from the States. Number three, Todd Barry, who is one of my favourites. Bit, he was in Flight of the Conchords for a little bit. Dylan Moran at number two from Black Books fame. Very, very funny. And number one, Bill Burr. If you don't love Bill Burr, you know, you don't look funny. But I'd be interested to hear what you got, Jonah, because I know you're a big fan of the stand-up genre.
Yeah, I am a big fan of the stand-up genre. Very different to yours. I do like Celia Piccola. She is very funny indeed. Honourable mention, Greg Davies, the English comedian who you might have seen on the TV show The Inbetweeners. He just hits it right between the eyes. He's very funny. I do like my English comedy. But number five for me, you got me onto him, Steve. That was Bill Burr. Very funny man. Now, every time I see a special on Netflix, I do sit there and watch and have a very good time. Number four, I've got Gabriel Iglesias. He's a clean humor kind of guy, but I just love the way he goes about his jokes. Actually got to see him live in person a couple of years ago. Very funny guy. Actually only discovered him by watching a late night comedy special on Go. Steve has won his...
But 2 points! 2 points! Get out of here, scaling. No scaling.
Number three, I can't believe you didn't have him. Jerry Seinfeld.
Also I don't like Seinfeld.
Don't you?
I don't reckon he's a good stand-up.
Had the pleasure of seeing him live at Caesar's Palace in Vegas. Had the dad, the guy who played the dad in 10 Things I Hate About You as the warm-up. Very funny, both of them. Love it. Robin Williams. Can't believe he's not on there. Absolute comedy genius, Robin Williams.
Has probably the best bit I've ever heard, that golf bit.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the best bits I've ever heard.
If you don't know what we're talking about, he did a special on Broadway, what would have been about 10 or 15 years ago now, but just YouTube, Robin Williams, golf, and you'll see it. Same with the Chinese algebra, pretty funny as well. But my number one was Bill Hicks. I don't even know how I got onto him, but seeing all his specials and DVDs, lots of YouTube clips, just... Man before his time, he was. He has passed away, but so there's no new material, but he is hands down one of the funniest comedians I've ever seen. And got to have Eddie Murphy up there as well, what he did in the late 80s and 90s with Raw and Delirious. We all followed that as well.
You watch that special now and you see a man who's facing some serious backlash.
I have to go back and watch it. Is it very political incorrect, is it?
Oh, it's aged poorly. Let's say it's aged poorly.
I will have to check it out.
Yeah.
All right. That wraps up the show for this week. Thank you very much for listening. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, at Statesman33. We are on the Facebook. Search The Draft Doctors there and the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.